Hi, once again, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program for the month this afternoon, and here to take your calls are Drs. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gilderland and Saratoga, and Christina Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Sekuli is the founder of Just Cats Clinic and a graduate of U Tennessee Veterinary Medicine. She's a member of the American Association of Feline Practitioners and the American Veterinary Medicine Association. Dr. Dallas, and a special shout out to Dr. Dallas's mom. We're going to say Christina all day, and none of this Chris business, Mom. You just relax. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets, exclusively using a holistic approach. She earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine from Ohio State University and specializes in veterinary acupuncture, end-of-life care for animals, and anesthesia-free dentistry. Well, doctors, welcome back to the program. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
I guess I was on vacation the last time you were here.
Yes, we missed you.
Swimming in the ocean in Maine.
Nice.
Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Management has assured me I will never have a vacation again, so we'll be here. So this is great. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And while we were waiting to go on during the news, we were talking a little bit about the advancement of holistic approaches and how much more widespread it is now than, say, 10 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. We see it in our continuing education classes where we go to conferences now. And as Chris was pointing out, we now can take the whole track, could be all holistic classes.
Yeah, there's a lot of local practitioners even who are starting to try to incorporate it into their practices. So they're doing something that's more integrative, thinking about, you know, the whole patient as opposed to just the problem that they're presenting for, which is a different way of looking at things.
So. And one of the great advantages, and I've talked about this with other doctors on the Pets and Vets show, one of the great advantages of some of the Eastern approaches that may have conventional Western medicine more skeptical, one of the great advantages with practicing those types of things on animals, you don't have to worry about a dog psyching itself into feeling better
right.
because it got acupuncture.
Right. I mean, there's really no placebo. The only thing I concern myself with a little bit is the owner's interpretations
yes.
of the results
yes.
because they really want to see results.
You're right.
And so I think of that as almost where the placebo might be happening. So
yeah.
I'm very aware because I'm very results oriented to make sure that they're not just reading into it. Like, feeling better is great, but are they actually showing
yeah.
us things?
Yeah.
Are they getting up and down yeah. those stairs now where they weren't before?
And
that type of thing.
They feed off the energy of the parents, so
yeah.
definitely
right.
see it.
Right.
Well, the number to call here is 800-348-2551. The lines are loading up fast. If you get a busy signal when you hear somebody hang up, that's your cue to call. And before we get to the phones, let's take one that came in via email, and the email address here is voxpop@wamc.org. This is from Chris in Cornwall, New York, who writes, "My 14-year-old cat is on hyperthyroid meds. She eats canned senior food and some dry kibble. Since going on her meds, she's become a picky eater. She likes two kinds of kibble. One is a senior kibble loaded with corn, rice, soy, and chemicals. It's 27% protein. The other one is an adult kibble with no corn, wheat, soy, or preservatives. It's 35% protein. They're both the same brand. Is one better for her than the other?" That's from Chris in Cornwall.
I guess I would consistently say that our trend for all cats is now to switch them to a canned diet,
yeah.
That we don't use dry food at all for most cats. And I think you follow that even with the dogs,
yes.
I would say. The processing that goes into making that dry food is just not what they need.
Even some of the really expensive ones you can find in the pet stores, I mean, there are those that'll be $30 a bag.
They don't come close, I think.
They don't come close.
It's
exactly.
really not the same. Now, what can be tricky is getting some of these cats off kibble, because it really does seem like some of them get so used to the texture that it can be hard to convince them that canned food is something they want to eat.
And it's comfort food, too, right? Carbs? I mean, can,
exactly.
can it be comfort food for animals?
I joke to my client, you know, if you have some pretzels there or you have a carrot,
yeah.
which one are you going to go for? And most times it's easier and, you know, more habitual to say, okay, let's go for that.
Now, when I was working with Dr. Sekuli, something that you taught me, actually, about getting cats more accommodated to canned food is to not just plop it in their bowl and hope they eat it, but to even put it in a bowl away from where they're eating and slowly move it towards the bowl
huh.
that with the dry food. If you're trying to convince a cat who is inclined to try to cover it up
right.
or something like it's something undesirable. And that's worked for a few of my patients, so that was a really great tip from Dr. Sekuli.
Now, if you have a stubborn cat and you are equally stubborn and you say, look, this cat is getting off dry food, cat won't eat the meat. If you keep giving fresh meat, the cat won't starve, right? The cat eventually will eat the food?
You will just need to decrease that dry food every day a very small amount. So he or she will still eat, will be a little hungry. And eventually that little hungry, if that's the first thing they get offered when they're hungry in the morning, all right, I guess I better eat some of this. You know, it's like having that smoothie versus, again, the bagel.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Right.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's get to the phones, 800-348-2551. We'll start out with Nova in Buckland, Mass. Nova, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. You guys took up half the morning with the credentials.
I know.
These guys are great. Yeah, I think my cat needs a CPAP machine. He seems to be snoring very loud, and he's like 14 years old, probably at 14, 15 years old, and he snores really loud, and he has all day long, he's sneezing. It's not, the color of the mucus is not green or anything, and he's done this year-round. He's constantly, maybe in the fall it was worse, but it's still worse every morning. I mean, I'm sorry.
How much does he weigh?
He's an average weight. He weighs 10 pounds.
Okay. All right. I guess for any cat that has some respiratory, sneezing, allergy kind of concerns, I usually look at the environment that they're in and the house and make sure that that is all clean as you can be. Not clean as in, dirty versus, but no deodorants or anything scent-wise, because cats are really, really sensitive.
Dusty as hell, maybe, but not, no, because the birds, I've got parrots, and they, they're very dusty.
Does the cat smoke?
Not recently.
Okay.
I think he can't quit.
Okay, good.
The other thought it would be maybe a chronic upper respiratory infection that could be like a herpes. Does he have runny eyes, or his eyes runny?
No, his eyes aren't runny, and his mucus is not colored.
Yeah.
It just comes out, it comes out. I try to blow his nose for him, but he don't like it.
Well, I would say, a good diet so you don't encourage inflammation, and some fish oils are always a good thing, too, for allergies.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give that a try. I'll try to mix it in with his food. That was another one I had, because you were talking about the wet food, and I give my cats the kibble and the wet food at night, because I want to get them in at night. So they love the wet food. But they don't get fat on the kibble. They just, eat it. And they want to eat. And none of my cats are fat. I've got three of them. And I'm wondering what's going to happen if I switch them to wet food when, they just would love to eat that wet food.
Well, that's better for them. The preponderance of people we have on the show say it's better for them.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about them getting too skinny on it, and you certainly.
No, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about them craving it all day long.
Oh, well, they actually are more satiated because they don't go through the carb, insulin, cravings. So it's actually they're more satiated.
Absolutely.
Nova, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. Now, cats, snoring or otherwise, can be, and dogs as well, they can get allergies, right?
They can,
and
yes.
It might, finding out what it is not always an easy process, right?
It's a long process of elimination. And it often doesn't manifest as upper respiratory infections like people have. It's usually, we see a lot more in the skin as a place where allergies tend
or
to
vomiting.
Manifest. Or vomiting. Yeah, okay. Really good point, yeah.
Yeah. We see that a lot in cats. And that's something that a holistic approach won't really do much for, right?
Oh, no, that's pretty much what I do.
Really? Allergies?
I do a lot.
Explain how you do it.
Herbal medicine.
Really?
It's almost all herbal. It's diet first, starting with a diet that is non-inflammatory. And that's very patient-based. I don't have a cookie-cutter approach to that. I do a ton of allergy work.
But
and
it's not always food,
them.
Right? It's not always food that a cat is allergic to. A
absolutely.
Cat can be allergic to whatever.
Pollens, and absolutely. And it's just starting with a good non-inflammatory basis and then going from there and treating the underlying patterns that creating that. Over the years, if you work at it, you can actually cure a lot of animals of their allergies.
It's a long process.
It is a long process. I tell people not to expect instant results. It takes. It can be years.
And so how do you figure out, Dr. Sekulli, when someone brings a pet in saying that this pet is ill, that it's, oh, this is only an allergy? I mean, is it a quick diagnosis?
That's a good question. It's a combination. You know, I think we eliminate as much as we can, put them on just a turkey diet, just a chicken diet, and then we see how they respond to that. But, you know, the caller was right. You have to adjust based on what that cat's going to eat.
Well, our guests today are Dr. Christina Dallas. All right, Mom, you got that? Christina. And Dr. Susan Sekulli. It's Vox Pop. It's Pets and Vets. We'll take a break and then back to the calls. 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine, open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of the Lake George region since 1988, lglc.org. Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, specializing in extra-sharp New York cheddar since 1923, offering imported cheddars, specialty cheeses, nostalgic candies, local baked goods, honey, and maple products in every corner of our store, waterwheelvillage.com. And Bed and Bowl, Huntington, Massachusetts, a home-style bed and breakfast for dogs, offering overnight boarding on a 50-acre farm convenient to Northampton, Springfield, and the Berkshires, bedandbowl.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Pets and Vets with Ray Graff here, joined by Christina Dallas and Susan Sekulli, and you at 800-348-2551. This one came in via email at voxpopwamc.org from Yale in Shandaken. What might cause a dog's gums to bleed easily, such as when playing tug of war with a toy, and what might be done to remedy this?
Well, first and foremost, I would want to make sure that your dog has adequate number of platelets. So it would be a good idea to have your dog's blood just checked, just to make sure that the bleeding is not caused by a reduced number of platelets, which can indicate some pretty serious medical issues. Other than that, it's probably gingivitis. And what you can do to help that along is to help toughen up those gums. The best thing, which nobody likes to do, and I'm guilty of not doing it enough, is just to take a piece of gauze every day and just wipe your dog's gums and teeth, and you will never need a dental. And that'll help the gums tremendously. Just so, and there doesn't need to be any toothpaste, just some water and a piece of gauze.
Okay. Will dry food help?
No.
No?
Totally not.
That's
absolutely
a myth?
Yeah, it's a myth. Yes.
All right. Let's go to Joe in Pittsfield. Joe.
Hello, Ray. Hello, doctors. I'm calling on behalf of my daughter who has a problem with her rescue cat. He's a male about a year old. He's been neutered, and she keeps him in her apartment and has a litter box, more appropriately called a litter dome. This thing's a large bowl with a domed cover. And she has a problem containing the litter scatter and controlling unwanted odor. And so she's come upon this idea that people put litter boxes in furniture, like a cabinet with doors on it. And she wants me to put one together for her, but I have some questions before I, you know, fully embrace this idea. And I'm the dad with the tools in the workshop, and I'm not trying to shirk my responsibility.
No, we understand.
But my questions are, if I put this litter box in a cabinet, and the cat's smart, but he can't open the doors with himself, I put a pet door on the cabinet, one of those swinging Lexan panel type affairs. Does the cat become suddenly disinterested in going to a cat door he's never seen before? He's a skittish cat. Will he be frightened of a door like that? Does he need special training, and what is that training, to get him used to using a litter box inside a cabinet?
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, I must say that my first suggestion would not to do that. I see probably on the backside, a lot of cats that are now doing inappropriate urinations, meaning urinating out around the litter box in certain spots, and you're putting him in a position of really going into an area that he's not as familiar with. I think you could do it. She could do it if it took some long term, and like a cat door that they would use for going outside, you put the door up.
That's exactly what this cat door
looks like.
Yeah,
so you put the door up initially so that it's always up and open.
Okay.
And get them used to it. But you just go really, really slowly. I sense, and I would probably have her have two litter boxes, too, so that's not just the one you're building, but the old one also.
Okay, so the dome outside and
the dome outside,
and
yes.
A conventional rectangular litter box inside this cabinet, which is what it's going to be built for. Yeah. I mean, she's seen pictures of these on websites. I've seen them, too, and they're quite expensive, but very fashionable.
could you do an experiment before you invest all this time and maybe get like a giant plastic tub and cut a hole in it to see if he would even be inclined to go
like,
in there?
Like a box that a TV comes in or something?
Just to see if he's even inclined. That seems like an awful lot of investment of your time and resources to have it not work.
Unless you have nothing to do, and then go ahead.
Or another use for it in mind if it doesn't work.
It's a father-daughter bonding thing.
That's very nice.
Well,
that's
good luck, Joe. And I just one question. Won't that cabinet stink after a while?
Right.
Not my problem once I did.
smart man. Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Maria in Olive Bridge. Maria.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I don't think there's an easy fix to this, but I have a 14-year-old intact Siberian husky, and he has, the short story is, he had been with his two brothers his entire life, all three of them intact, and got along quite well and, you know, were fine together. And the two passed away last March and April after ailing for a number of months. And I'm sure you know that huskies are quite vocal.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of vocalizing, and he was somewhat traumatized by what the others went through because they were always together, and, you know, I didn't want to separate them when they were sick. So now the other two are gone, and he really freaked out after they left. Plus, I have pet sitters who come and go and exercise them, take them for walks in the woods. We have some trails here. So he does a lot of whining and got into the habit of going out in the middle of the night with the two sick boys. They weren't sick, but they were ailing, and they had to be taken out a lot. So he'll whine, he'll wake me up in the middle of the night, he'll, after he's had his exercise and his dinner, you would think he would be relaxed, and he is for a little bit, and then he just starts whining and whining, and there are various vocalizations that he does, and one of them is a kind of a whine with every breath, and he looks kind of hypnotized or spaced out or whatever you might say. And it reminded me of some neighbors I had who had labs who, when they were in their chain link kennel, would bark with every breath. I mean, really loud barking. Mm. And it seemed, you know, torturous. And it is very hard to listen to him. And I've tried all different things, and I haven't been able to deal with it. Sometimes some things work, other times they don't work.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I just thought I would throw it out and see if you've had any experience with this.
Well, I have, actually, quite a bit. And I actually deal with restless pacing dogs all the time. And first of all, a lot of my patients are older because I have like a very geriatric profile of my practice. And this is a very common presenting complaint.
He isn't restless and pacing. He's just whining.
Just vocalizing.
Yeah.
And what time of day did you say it's worse in the evenings?
All the time.
Any
time of day or night.
And is he the only dog you have now, or did you say you have another one still?
No, I have a female. What I had was two unspayed females and three intact males. It's a long story as to why that was. And I kept them separate, of course, all the time,
right,
so that the males would never get into the habit of
Right.
Smelling the female's changes in hormones.
Right.
So he does know she's there, but they don't interact. I have them, and they're both in the house, except when they're outside exercising or in their yard.
Yeah.
They live in the house.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough situation, but it sounds like he may need some company, because otherwise getting a dog to stop whining and vocalizing, especially a husky, like you said, they're very vocal dogs, is going to be tough because that's just sort of who they are. But I was going to also suggest if you wanted to try some valerian root or something to sort of calm his nerves a little bit, there are some herbs that could be helpful for him, but I would think about maybe getting him a companion. I know that he's older, so that can be harder to introduce, but maybe an older dog for him to hang out with, if you could find it, like from a husky rescue, if you really like huskies, that would be another consideration.
It sounds like a nice idea, but I'm almost 70, and I'm kind of with Siberians. I've really sacrificed an enormous amount of my life, like 30 years for 7 Siberians.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get another dog.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I have two, So
I would consider looking into some calming herbs, some essential oils. There's a plug-in that you can buy at a lot of the local pet stores called Comfort Zone, and it's a pheromone that's like a calming pheromone, and you might consider trying that for him to see if that helps calm him a little bit.
Maria, thanks a lot for the call. We're joined today by Drs. Susan Sekulia of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gilderland and Saratoga, and Christina Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Kim in Pittsfield. Kim.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for taking the call. I have a young kitten who was a rescue. He's estimated to be about 8 months. We've had him since he was somewhere around 2 or 3 months of age. And recently, I had him at the vet for a nail trim, and they mentioned that he has the beginning of some gingivitis. He's on good food and doesn't go out. He doesn't get into anything. He doesn't eat what he's not supposed to. But I'm wondering, besides tooth issues, are there also gastrointestinal issues that I should be concerned with and just have in the back of my mind? His breath it's really difficult. It's challenging to have him sometimes right there in your face.
So I can present it on the western side.
Okay.
The western side, and then Dr. Dallas will present it on the eastern side, and we'll try to have a mixture of both here.
We've got to get a wall between you two.
Exactly. So on a young kitten,
great wall.
They would call that juvenile gingivitis, and we know it is, we think it is triggered by bacteria that is in those gums because it tends to respond to antibiotics and a teeth cleaning. If we get them at a young enough age and we're able to do that, that resolves and the gingivitis disappears, or at least is not as red and as angry as you are seeing now, and the breath improves. That said, there are some that then progress and then they become this stomatitis, gingivitis that gets really severe. And in those cases, we actually end up having to extract all of the teeth because of that severe inflammatory response that's there. Now, knowing my eastern side, there is the angry gut or the stomach heat that you just explained, that yes, there's probably in his personality a component of this that's worsening because of it.
And that's right. That's exactly the diagnosis would be. The Chinese diagnosis for something like that would be stomach fire. Does he vomit too? Is he a vomiter?
No, he's not a vomiter. He has a voracious appetite though.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
Which he tries to calm the stomach.
Exactly.
He's trying to calm the stomach by eating.
Right.
Okay.
So that is something that you might actually be able to prevent further progression of. And, of course, Chinese herbal medicine is complex. It's not really a do-it-yourself kind of medicine. But if you're, depending on where you're located, if you can find a holistic vet in your area, they might be able to help you, if they're schooled in herbal medicine, prevent progression of that and really get on top of it. Because that can really get to be a pretty big issue chronically.
Kim, thank you for the call. Now, I mean, from a Western standpoint, a little omeprazole maybe on the stomach?
Again, it helps, yes, temporarily. Yeah. But then you're looking at this young cat and wanting to live 15 years.
Yeah.
So we're trying, and that's my balance, is trying to help immediately, but then prevent worsening of clinical signs.
Yep.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551. Mary in Niskayuna is on. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We have two cats that we got from Dr. Sekouli 8 years ago, Bear and Bella.
Hi, Mary.
We love them dearly, and they've been just fantastic pets. But we're a little worried about the white one, Bella, who's the bigger of the two, less active of the two. And over the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 days, it's almost as though she has a people kind of cold. She sneezes. Her breathing is like when, you know, you're congested. It kind of rattles a little bit. She's eating well. She's sort of our lazy daisy cat, but she's as active as she normally is. And I'm just wondering if there's anything we can do here to maybe help if it is congestion. And she also gets completely traumatized if we have to take her in to see you, Dr. Sekouli. No offense, but she just goes crazy. So I'm wondering if there's something we can do here at home to see if we can make a difference, or maybe even have someone come to the house if it gets any worse.
Okay. All good questions. And I, you know, I'll look at Dr. Dallas on these. I tend to approach them as either a upper respiratory infection like the herpes that will flare up and down, and certain cats will be more prone to it than others. It's like a cold sore in a person. And so if it does, then there are certain supplements and things that we can help that with. If it's allergies, this is going to continue and be a chronic problem. I guess, or consistent. I have been using essential oils a lot with these guys. I love it for upper respiratories in cats. Eucalyptus, peppermint, those are probably my go-tos that really, if you put it in the air and the cats are breathing it in, it really opens up their airways and helps them.
Ah, okay. Peppermint, and what was the other one?
Peppermint and eucalyptus.
And eucalyptus.
Yep, and those you use as a diffuser. So it's a cold water diffuser that aerates in the room that you bring the cat into, and they breathe that in.
It smells really nice, too. Your house will smell nice. The other thing I was just thinking about, too, is sometimes cats will develop these infections because there's something else going on in their body. Okay. So there might be another stress. So just keep an eye on other things going on, you know, especially, like, I think of things like urinary tract infections. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the stress from that. You don't notice the urinary tract infection, but you're noticing the runny nose, and you're missing out on, like, oh, the cat's back and forth to the litter box every 20 minutes. So keep an eye on other things. Because sometimes those herpes viruses are handy because they tell us when something else is going on. She could have a sore tooth. She could have a toothache.
Good point.
And the stress Great of that points. Causes the recrudescence of the herpes. So just maybe do a once-over on her physically and keep an eye on some of those habits.
Mary, thank you so much for the call. It's Pets and Vets on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, joined by Susan Sekouli and Christina Dallas. And let's take another call before our next break. Jessica in Scaticoke. Jessica.
Yes.
You're on.
Hi, I just had a quick question. My dog recently, he just turned a year, and he is starting to develop like a clicking in his front paws. I brought him to our local vet that we always go to, and they gave him, he told me to give him glucosamine and also fish oil, but I didn't know if there's anything else I can do. I mean, he's a big dog. He's Siberian Husky and Great Pyrenees, and he's just a year old. And I'm so afraid what's going to happen even, you know, 5-10 years down the line.
Which, did they isolate which joints are clicking, and is it both front legs?
It's both front legs. They said that they didn't really think it was the front, but the more that I pay attention to them, it just started when it got cold out. And my husband and I both are noticing it's definitely the front paws. And they said sometimes the tendons can pop over.
Right.
But I don't know if there's anything I can do. I mean, he's happy, he's running around, but I'm just afraid what happens when he gets older.
Why don't you try doing some range of motion exercises? Because if he's still growing, I know he's through his rapid growth phase, but a lot of times those bones grow quickly and then it takes some time for the soft tissues to catch up. Try doing some range of motion for all of the joints, you know, and just push them right to the limit and then back off a little bit and hold those positions on, you know, his wrist, even his, I mean, I doubt it's his fingers, but, you know, his wrist, his elbow, his shoulder. Do a little massage and kind of see, get to know his anatomy a little bit and get to see if that helps at all. And, you know, it may not be in the joint. If it's a tendon or a ligament, you know, that's not necessarily going to affect, you know, the quality of his joint fluid.
So glucosamine wouldn't help.
Right, exactly. Glucosamine may not be. I do like the fish oils either way, though. Glucosamine may end up being a waste of money at this point because I'm not convinced that you need that right now. But and, you know, make sure he's doing some swimming in the summer because that's the ultimate range of motion exercise.
It's Pets and Vets. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We'll get back for the home stretch and more of your calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Bread Alone Bakery, Kingston, celebrating 32 years of certified organic handcrafted breads with a new space open for breakfast, brunch, lunch, or a late snack on Route 9 West between Kingston and Saugerties. BreadAlone.com. Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass, European cuisine infused with flavors of the world, Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Huntsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. Edith-Huntsberger.artistwebsites.com. And Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton. Providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb, additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Pets and Vets, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, joined today by Christina Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs and Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga. Before we get back to the phones, a couple quick emails here. This one's from Rob in Williamstown. While I read it, you can look at a picture of Rob's dog. Very nice.
Aww.
Rob's
Aww.
Question, how do you get a dog that doesn't like taking his meds to take them, i.e. eardrops? I have a boxer lab mix. When I try to give him eardrops, he'll shake his head, back away, snip at me, etc. It's a struggle to wrestle with him. I bet it is. What do you do?
And that's a big dog with a big head.
Yep.
That's a tough
cute.
One. Boy, that's a that's a big dog. if he's snapping at you, you definitely want to be careful because he's learning that he's got the upper hand. And you really, what I've done when I was actually, I had a pretty formidable pit bull living with us who needed occasional treatments done and nail trims especially. And we had, we used food motivation to totally distract her. So I had, it was a three-person job. One person, I used to have my daughter holding a scoop of peanut butter on a spoon, distracting her while one held her and then I trimmed her nails. And she got distracted enough by the peanut butter that I could get the job done. Now, keep in mind, the head shaking is actually an important part of the ear cleaning. So once you get that fluid in there and you slosh it around and agitate the ear a little bit, you actually want him to shake that out. That's how the debris is going to come out of the ear.
Okay,
so
great.
That's actually handy. But you don't want to get bit in the process. So try anything that he just goes crazy for and see if you can distract him. It just might be enough to deter
Fair
negative
enough.
Behavior.
All right, this one came from Nancy in Wilton. We rescued a 10-year-old intact male Springer Spaniel. Intact means?
Unneutered.
Unneutered.
I see. Mm-hmm. He's doing well, loves kids and dogs and us, obedient with one exception. He lunges at my two house cats. Even after conditioning him, all of them, to sit quiet in the same area several times a day, he just gets to the point where he takes a predatory stance, ramrod straight, nose forward, and then if I don't correct him, he lunges. I don't trust him with them. Mm-hmm. Anything I can do to help this process along? We've been at it for about a month now. That doesn't seem like a lot of time.
That's not a lot of time.
Right.
I agree.
Go slowly, and I agree. I would not trust him for a while.
Yes.
3 months.
That prey drive is very strong.
And very strong.
I would do some real counter conditioning where he gets rewarded for sitting calmly. And if that's what she means, then maybe she's already done that work. But I would keep it up where he gets rewarded for watching them walk by, watching them run by, because the running is what sets that prey drive off.
Yeah.
And he gets lots of rewards when he actually looks at her instead of at them. He has to look away.
Well, I got to tell you, if I was a dog, I'd be a little concerned. Two cats?
Yeah, 2-1.
There's a little danger there for
and the
doggy.
The intelligence factor, he's
right.
in trouble.
And then one more email, and then back to the phones. This one is from Elizabeth. Any recommendation for two fixed male cats, one of whom appears to have recurrent UTIs going on the furniture, et cetera, which then perhaps initiates turf wars with the brother cat. We already have 3 boxes cleaned daily for the 2 cats. Use calming pheromone, cranberry in the dry food, grain-free wet food. Use Zykeen, trickling water fountain too. Any ideas before we get back to the calls?
We just had mentioned, actually, at the break, Dr. Dowis and I were talking about the Zykeen. It's a colostrum derivative, and it's supposed to be helpful for calming in many different anxiety-type situations. I've just started using it in our practice, and I'm seeing some nice results. They actually recommend it even prior to bringing your cat to the clinic. Give it for a couple of days so that it seems to calm them down. Probably my one recommendation that I see the best results is off the dry. You know, you mentioned that she has the dry food.
Yeah.
Try all canned. It really makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
Question, how
really
do they extract colostrum? Is colostrum not for a baby inside a mommy?
I don't know. I don't know if genetically that's a bad word in these days, that GMO, but they somehow reproduce the colostrum or take the colostrum and then make it so that it is, because it's lactose free, so I know we can use it in cats that are and dogs, actually they do it for both, that
I guess presumably you could milk a cat.
I think it's bovine.
I think it's bovine. Yeah, it's bovine.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Oh, thank God for that.
I'm guessing when they calve.
You got me there.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
All right. On that happy note, let's go back to the phones. John in Pittsfield. John, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have 2 male cats, and they're about 2 years apart. I had one before the other. I got the younger one as a companion to the older one, who I in turn got as a companion for one that has since passed. Anyhow, they're both neutered. They've been best friends ever since they've been together for about 4 years. No issues whatsoever. And about 3 weeks ago, they began to viciously fight. I've had to separate them. Now I have 3 pet doors completely blocking my kitchen off, and I have to limbo every time I go in and out of the kitchen. So I have no idea. There have been no changes in the house, no changes to diet, no additional pets, nothing. They're indoor cats,
Are there any Very cats suddenly. Outside, John?
No, not at all. I have a fenced-in yard and nothing gets in.
I'm wondering if somebody could have some pain and I always think about the hidden sources of pain in some of the older cats, back pain, neck pain, dental pain. I've sometimes seen cats just get really cranky and they go on the offensive almost out of fear. I would actually, I think it warrants at least a physical exam for both of them to look, you know, a really good dental analysis, you know, exam.
Yeah, I brought one in this morning, the one that appeared to have some possible issues, and he checked out totally fine.
Did you say you have a pheromone thing going?
No, I don't.
That was the last caller.
So feel away?
Feel away. I would consider that.
And I would tend to separate them as you're doing right now until, you know, it goes back to that same positive reinforcement. If you can get them near each other in a room without any aggression and keep that kind of behavior.
Is it common for a cat or a couple of cats to do this after years together?
We have seen it, but it's usually because it's triggered by something.
So there's a physiological reason.
Both go to the vets, unfortunately. They come back. They don't like the smell of what now they smell like, and they attack that way.
So the feel away might help in that instance.
It will, yeah. Yeah.
All right, John, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Victoria in Southampton. Victoria, you're on.
Hello. I live on a farm, and we have a barn cat, and she usually kills things, and we found her eating them. But as the winter comes, we want to make sure she stays healthy, and we were wondering how much food we should give her.
Good question.
To keep her like good at her job, too, which is to keep the mice and critters out.
Yeah. You know, for an average cat that runs around, I don't know, 10 to 12 pounds, I usually say about a 6-ounce can of food a day between six.
Okay.
You know, so those two of the smaller ones or one of the large 6-ounce a day is a good average for
okay.
most cats. But
awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
And watch for, you know, internal parasites. If she's a hunter, she's probably going to have some roundworms and tapeworms and those kind of things. And as long
yes.
as you keep her supplemented well.
Okay.
Supplemented
awesome.
With what? You mean with food?
Good diet. And,
good diet.
And how would you take care, assuming it's an outside cat that eats a lot of critters, what do you do for the probability that there are tapeworms and ringworms and whatnot?
And I'll have to say that's probably a little bit of a Western Eastern practice on it. For me, I would probably use some
occasional dewormer.
Deworming. They have both a topical Profender and Revolution, which I endorse. But I'd use it sporadically and when it's necessary.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't do it as a preventative?
For a cat that's outside a lot.
A barn cat, let's say.
A barn cat, yes. I would probably do it twice a year.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of an empirical deworming.
Mm-hmm. Is that an over-the-counter thing?
No, both of those are through veterinarians.
Okay. Melinda in Great Barrington. Melinda, you're on.
Hi. We've had a couple of cats already in the house, and we had a stray that we took in, and one of the cats just viciously attacks the stray cat that's new to the home. And so we're looking for any suggestions. They don't get along and can't even be in the same room. And it's been at least a month.
Oh, you got plenty of time still.
Yeah.
Cats can take months to years, actually.
Is the stray intact, or has that one been spayed or neutered?
Yep. No, it must have been, I think it was a cat that was let go from the household over the summer. And I didn't have a place to go.
So cats are very territorial. They're trying to both establish their own space in your house. So part of what you're doing is making sure that they each have their own space.
Yep, they do at the moment.
Okay. And then it goes back to, can they at least look at each other without being aggressive and reward that? There's very similarities in behavioral reward system for cats than we do with dogs. Feeding them through a screened area or even a cardboard so that they see each or hear each other, but then they don't get excited. That's what you're trying to do. The minute they get excited, you have to put them back and the timeout times again.
And if you really have to step back to the beginning, what I do when I introduce cats to my household, because I've got one who's very aggressive to new cats, is I keep them separated and have them interact under a doorway for a long time, and then I switch their spaces. So they don't even have to interact with each other, but they have to interact with each other's smells. So, the new cat will stay confined, let's say, in a bedroom, and and I wait until the hissing stops under the door. Then I switch them so that the new cat gets to roam the house. The old cat goes into his space, has to use his litter box. And, I'll switch them back and forth, sometimes even throughout the day, like at night. The new cat gets to roam and the old cat gets confined, that type of thing. That's kind of like step one, and then just increasing the exposure from there. So sometimes you got to go back to square one.
How long will that take, that process?
It can take months.
Don't
give up on it, though. It usually works out eventually. They may not sleep in a pile together, but they usually learn to tolerate
one another. Call us next year, Melinda, and tell us how you did.
That's right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Kim in West Hampton. Kim, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a 15-year-old female who the past year has been having a lot of digestive problems. And where the vet is at now is they did some x-rays to make sure there was no bowel obstructions. She was vomiting. She wasn't eating. Then she was constantly begging for food. It wasn't a hairball issue. They saw no obstructions. They did say that the chemistry of her gut said there was absolutely no B12, so they had me put her on 6 weeks of B12 injections, which I faithfully gave her, and Reglan for the nausea in her stomach, and her appetite improved and the nausea decreased. When the B12 shots ended,
they wouldn't give me another script of it until they do another round with her blood work, which I'm about to get done this weekend. And sure enough, the past week and a half, she's just had diarrhea. And she is very old. She's a little senile, like she forgets where her food is, and I got to bring her back. But she is like begging like a dog constantly. And yet when I give her the small amounts of food, she only eats wet. She will only eat like half of it, and then she'll turn around and come begging again. And they tried the prescription diet with the venison, and she ate like 2 days of that. And then I tried the duck prescription diet, and she ate like not even one meal of that. So is there any input that you guys have outside of regular Western medicine?
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead first. And
I was sort of laughing. This is probably a third of my clients that I see. You're describing her to a T. So you are not alone. And every caller out there is going, yeah, that's my cat. Yeah.
I mean, she's become like a dog.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I agree. And I think it goes back to almost, you know, again, the Western side would call it inflammatory bowel disease, malabsorption. The Eastern side goes more to
spleen deficiency or you said it's mostly vomiting?
It was vomiting, and the vomiting stopped off now, and now it's just diarrhea and begging for food and then not really eating it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, what I always tell people is when you're dealing with a chronic problem and if Western medicine can't fix it, that's when people call holistic vets, and we take all of the treatment failures and the complicated cases and we take a completely different approach to them. Uh-huh. And it, you know, it often works. So I don't know where you're at West End. I don't know if there's anybody in your area, but it would certainly be something to consider. Acupuncture can go a long way to dealing with this kind of thing. If she's, you know, and
doing the Provivable, you know, the good bacteria
the probiotics
stuff for her gut.
Yes.
Is there any other sort of things that I can be adding? The other thing is I am tapped out financially because I also have a 15-year-old chihuahua with one eye and three teeth. And that's like geriatric.
That old story.
So, nice menage.
Does she eat home-cooked meals? Would she eat anything that you would
She
cook?
Would probably love it. I just don't want to not give her the good minerals and vitamins, you know, that supposedly she's getting in her food. But
yeah. You can supplement those. I mean, RX Vitamins has a product called Feline Minerals that has everything, the taurine and the minerals that they need. But
yeah, I like home-cooked diets on some of these older cats that are really not seeming to absorb. It's a simple diet for them, and they seem to tolerate it much better than even the processed canned food.
Well, yeah. Kim, thank you so much. Let's take at least one more here before we wrap up the program. Let's go to Alex in Schenectady. Alex.
Hi, I am just curious. I have noticed some behavior problems with my cat, where she'll paw at me and stuff. At first I thought she wanted to sit in my computer chair, so I'll give that to her and I'll just kind of stand near it and she'll continue pawing at me. It doesn't matter if she has enough food, enough water, if her litter is clean, if I played with her. She seems to only stop after I give her some catnip. And I did some research and I found that cats shouldn't get addicted to catnip, but Her signs seem a little different, and I was curious.
Your cat's a junkie, is what you're saying. Oh, boy.
Oh, you can write this one up.
Yeah. I know.
We got a one-eyed chihuahua and a junkie cat. What a program.
Well, it's possible, I suppose. I mean, if she's getting, you know, happy feelings and she's learning that, you know, by harassing you. I mean, certainly we see that with food, where animals harass their owners to get fed, and it works because we want them to stop harassing us. And I suppose catnip could be something that she just...
Mm. Is catnip a gateway drug?
It may be in this case. I don't know what would be a gateway too, but...
It is interesting how certain cats have different reactions to catnip.
Yes.
Some of them don't care about it at all, and then others do definitely.
Have you ever heard of such a thing, though, as an animal becoming addicted to catnip? A cat becoming addicted to catnip?
They get pretty excited about knowing where the catnip is located, and they can.
All right, well, Alex, you
should go cold turkey for a little while, and
you win the prize for the most interesting call of the program. Yeah. Thank you, Alex, and we got to go here, but thank you, and I think the one-eye, three-tooth chihuahua is second.
Yeah.
On the list. Well, that was fun, Christina Dallas. Thank you so much, Susan Sekuli. Thank you. Quickly,
thank you.
In the last 5 seconds, you have websites.
Yes.
Still in progress, but yes, functioning.
You got a URL before we're running out of time?
I'm veterinaryancientarts.com.
Okay.
JustCatsVet.com.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks
to
everybody who called in. Support comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. AGStewardship.org. Pave Tile, Wood, and Stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone. Showroom by appointment and online, pavetile.com. Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Serving the greater Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, interimhealthcare.com. And Capital Roots, celebrating 40 years of providing fresh food and green spaces for the Capital Region. Grow, educate, provide, capitalroots.org for details. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to Christina Dallas and Susan Sekuli. Thanks for all of you calling. Thanks to Zach Malloy for his sterling service at the controls. Your phones were answered by, who was over there? Colleen O'Connell. Thanks to our producer, Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, I'm Ray Graff. Science Forum tomorrow.